Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano, former Army sniper, chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're about to experience the wild game domain from the hunt to the hearth, airing live on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Today's show, we are going to be discussing the infamous wild boar, and we're going to turn it into a discussion about feral swine here in New York, upstate New York, right here. We're being overtaken by this evasive animal. I'm happy to announce that I have a special guest today, a good friend of mine, chef slash, I guess, jack of all trades, Jesse Riley. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Chad. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Nice to be here today.
Do me a favor. Tell us a little bit about your background, because I started writing some stuff down. Obviously, okay. I know you pretty well, and I was like, this is ridiculous, because you're very interesting.
I'm native Brooklynite, and I think what like informed who I am is my grandparents came here from Italy as adults. So I spent a lot of time like foraging for dandelions on the side of the BQE on the Bell Park, with my father getting really upset. And, you know, it's like eating a lot of rabbit, eel. And I didn't realize till I was an adult that other people were not eating this food. You know, I just didn't realize it.
Right.
And, you know, I wanted to take that path. And like many people are like, oh, you know, you got to go to college and you got to get a degree. And so I did that, you know, and I worked in technology. I studied art and did a lot of different things, as you said. And now I'm back in food, which is like really great.
Right, and that's your passion.
That is my passion.
And what I mean by a jack of all trades is obviously that, but she's a brilliant, brilliant lady. And, you know, she knows how to use the iPad as an example, and she sends me stuff. And then it's funny because we communicate, and she says, I sent you a bunch of stuff for the inbox thing or whatever it is, Dropbox. And I'm like, great. And then I'm like, I'll just wait to see her, because she's going to have to push all the buttons on my iPad and pull up all this information she just sent me. So it's actually pretty funny. And we both work together, obviously, at the Institute of Culinary Education. That's what I meant. And Jesse teaches in our recreational department a lot of times.
Yeah, I do a couples tapas class with my partner, Catherine Gordon, and some classes in French cuisine. And we're doing a big Caribbean class in the summer.
There you go. And aside from that, not that it applies to today's show or in wild game in general, Jesse works with a lot of sugar as far as show pieces, things like that. Jesse and I were planning a competition together this summer that my wife messed up.
Now you're going on vacation.
Apparently my wife booked us on a cruise, so I'm out this year. But we're going to start practicing for next year.
Yeah, 2014.
We're quickly running out of time already.
Wow. And we haven't even talked about the wild boar, and we have a great example on the wall behind us.
We do. And it's funny because, I don't know, this is the eighth or so episode, I should probably know that, but I've been staring at this wild boar up in our studio here for eight or so episodes, and it never dawned on me, hey, why don't we do a show about pork? And finally it hit me that, and Jesse and I have been discussing this, I said, let's bring you into the studio and discuss it. So this is a funny subject, because, you know, we're talking about pigs in general here. Mm-hmm. I guess we have to start in Europe.
Right.
You know, a little bit of the history of this animal, and why don't you...
Well, you know, it's a pretty common game animal, and you can, like, in the markets in the southwest part of France and central Europe, you see, like, a lot of, like, saucisson made from wild boar. And you'll also see a lot of just recipes out there for wild boar. It's not here it's not as common. And one of the, like, fascinating things, I do a trip there every summer. We take a group of chefs. And one day we were just riding along the road, and you see these farmers and hunters just lining the perimeter of a cornfield with their shotguns, cell phones, and hunting dogs, and they've been notified that there's a wild boar in the field, and they're just going to wait it out. They're not trying to force it. They're just waiting.
Right.
And when they get him, he's going to the local laboratory, which is like a butcher, and they're going to portion him out, and everybody's going to get some.
Yeah, which I said is, you know, very European in nature.
Yeah.
And we kind of do it here. You know, I shoot a deer. I bring it to mm-hmm. work. I give cutlets away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in Europe, obviously, like most things, it's just steeped in tradition, you know.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's a whole, you know, celebration. We got a pig.
That's
you know,
right.
Let's bring it in and share it with our community. And I love that. You know, and we're starting to see that here, too, in some ways. You know, the thing is, you mentioned Central Europe, Northern Europe, but the wild boar itself, you know, you find it in Africa, in the Mediterranean region. You find it here.
Yes. Well, now we're finding a lot of it here in New York and
New
Jersey.
York.
Yeah.
And just to kind of give you a little background on this animal or describe this animal to you a little bit. You know, obviously there's, like all animals, male and females.
Mm-hmm.
The males are the ones we generally hunt. They're the more aggressive. It's not to say you can't shoot a female, but
right.
we generally hunt the males because they're more aggressive. They're out moving about more. You know, and these adult males, the main feature, I think, that draws me to them, or the most interesting feature, is obviously their tusks, which are effectively overgrown teeth.
Right.
And they grind against their upper teeth, and these tusks become razor sharp just through using them. And the boar is going to use these tusks to harvest food, to dig with.
To dig,
to attack humans, to attack prey. They will take down deer, fawns, smaller deer. They're a relatively aggressive animal. And these tusks can grow, you know, 3 to 5 inches long. And it's not to say the females don't have sharp teeth. They do.
Right,
they have very
right.
sharp canine teeth. And, you know, the thing is, we were talking a little bit on a train on the way over here, you know, in New York, and we're going to get to this later, but it ties in with, you know, we had mentioned they don't really have a natural predator here.
Right.
Anything to control them except for us.
But, exactly.
You know, in other places, they're, you know, the tiger
right.
is their nemesis.
Right. And in Central Europe, the wolf. Can
right.
actually take down a boar.
And the last time I checked, those are two pretty relentless, strong, brutal animals. And that's what these wild boar are competing with. And they're holding their own pretty well. So they're a pretty ferocious animal at the end of the day. You know, the beautiful thing, at the end of the day, what we're talking about here is pork. And we're not talking mm-hmm. about that pork you find at Stop and Shop.
Right, the bland,
yeah.
no flavor.
Right, the other
right.
white meat,
right.
as they like to call it. So why don't you kind of describe the characteristics or, you know,
sure.
the texture, everything?
Well, wild boar has a lot less fat on it than other animals.
Right, like most game animals.
Most game animals. The meat is darker. It's not that light color. It's got a stronger texture to it. I find the flavor nice. I don't find it particularly gamey or that it needs a tremendous amount of marinade or spicing on it.
Okay.
You can, in Europe at least, you can get wild boar legs. A lot of people will take the meat from the shoulder.
Okay. Which brings it, let's talk about that a little bit, the cuts. I mean,
right.
the typical primal cuts.
Exactly.
Typical of most animals. You know, wild, I don't care if it's wild game, farm raised, the cuts are the cuts.
Right.
You know, and obviously, you know, we could talk about short ribs and
mm-hmm.
spare ribs and all the
loins.
Things. Loins.
Right.
All these things are going to exist, obviously, on a wild boar. And correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you're going to get the different textures and flavor profiles
exactly.
from the various cuts of meat. So if, you know, the shoulder, big, strong,
right.
lean cut of meat, it's a muscle that
right.
obviously a wild boar would use a lot moving
right.
about.
And that's that would need a little more of a marinade, more time in a marinade, right. and a more gentle cooking.
Right. And as opposed to the loin,
mm-hmm.
right? The loin would be soft. And that would obviously change the, what do you want to call it? The procedure.
Right,
the,
because like
the
usually.
Technique.
Well, like usually with the loin, you know, we tend to cook that a little more towards rare. Here in New York, though, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation says we have to take it to about 170 degrees.
Right, for wild boar. And we'll
right.
talk about that, too, when at the end of the show, as usual, Jesse's going to go over a recipe with us for shoulder.
I have two, actually. I have one for a leg that's kind of treated like a Caribbean style of the technique of it, but done with some dried fruits and things.
All right, cool. So we'll talk about that after the break. But the so the other thing I wanted to talk about, getting back to the actual kind of makeup or description of this animal, is this idea that, and we'll talk about how they were introduced here or how we think they were introduced here. And Jesse was talking about Christopher Columbus, bad-mouthing Christopher Columbus again as normal as everyone, my daughter, Jesse. Well, everyone wants to cut on Christopher Columbus all of a sudden.
Well, you know, I can believe he brought pigs, but, like, could you really keep a wild boar on the hold of a ship? I don't know.
Yes, because he was Christopher Columbus, and he was magical, and he could do anything. And he could certainly put a wild boar in a cage. He discovered our country, so... but
bumped into.
Let's not get political. No, so we were talking a little bit about the hair on these animals.
Yeah.
You know, and so you've probably heard the term razorbacks here, you know.
Right, in the south.
Down south. And it's, you know, this Americanized kind of wild boar is what would you say, bristly, coarse?
It's bristly. It's been used for brushes, right?
Right. They used to use it for toothbrushes, I was reading, to my disgust. they would cut the hair.
Well, sanitary off. Boar's hair? Come
but
on.
But it's I touched boar's hair. Go touch that boar on the side there. It's as coarse as it is, it's not coarse enough. So I could imagine it just harboring bacteria and not drying properly and people brushing their teeth with it. But I guess I would just use my finger better or a leaf or something. But I guess it works. But you were talking about the boars you had experienced in Europe, the wild boar, the actual wild boar. And why don't you talk a little bit about...
Well, there's this wild boar forest in the Loire Valley. And it's interesting because it's very synergistic, right? The poop from the wild boar is actually...
You could say
what,
shit.
Well...
My son set the precedent on that, so... And, You'll hear that shortly.
Okay,
one of these days. So.
Wild boar shit or poop, right? Or croton are used to cultivate wild mushrooms.
Right.
Right? And so what's really interesting, that relationship, is that you go out foraging for wild mushrooms, right? You don't want to get killed. So there you can take the mushrooms to a pharmacy and they'll identify them for you.
Hmm.
But they have a lot of wild mushroom cultivation, and then they have mushroom caves, and there they use horse poop.
Oh, and the reason?
I guess there's a big equestrian.
They have a lot of it.
They have a lot of it. Big equestrian center, a lot of horse poop.
You see? So, and you know, the interesting thing, and I could think of a million things to say right now, but, you know, in Europe, the wild boar is certainly not looked upon as an invasive or problem animal
in not
any ways.
It's only a problem when it gets into a field.
Right. A field. Crops.
We're right.
talking about. So
right.
they, you know, obviously. They,
right. Not a field of flowers, a field of like
right.
corn or soybean.
They're going to wallow. They're going to consume.
Right. Well, they're going to trash the field, basically.
Right.
Which is like if you look at a place like Stone Barns, they actually use pigs to aerate the fields.
Right.
But in this case, the farmer doesn't want his field aerated.
Right. So there's, you know, Stone Barns, Hudson Valley, we could talk about that one day. And they actually have pigs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you would call them domestic.
Yeah, they're more domestic pigs.
You know, farm raised.
Cute little pink and black ones.
Right, and it's a completely different animal. And,
yes.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't know the subspecies and all that business, but it's a completely different animal than what we're speaking of today.
Right.
Well, but we're talking about cute little pink pigs
right.
running around looking nice. Generally controllable, friendly mm-hmm. in certain ways. People keep them as pets. I'm sure somebody listening out there in Brooklyn
that's right.
is crazy enough to have a pig in their house running around, and they have personalities and they love it. I wouldn't suggest bringing a wild boar into your house. You know, and I'm not trying to be dramatic about it, but I'm trying to illustrate that, you know, and later we'll get into the conservation in the second half of the show about this animal and how I feel about it. Because, you know, I am a conservationist. I'm a hunter. But I'm all about sustainability, hunting animals in a responsible manner. But, you know, we were saying on the way over here how, you know, I, and maybe I shouldn't even say this, but I will. I would shoot a pig in a cage. I don't know. I have maybe this deep-rooted hatred of pigs and love slash love.
What do you hate about pigs?
They are mean animals. They are mean.
But they're intelligent.
That's how the gangsters used to get rid of bodies. They would take the bodies and throw it in the pig pen, right? And the pigs would devour bodies,
that's like
bones,
that Hannibal
and everything.
Lecter movie you're recalling.
Right. So, you know, to me, they're a danger. It's like Planet of the Apes. We're being invaded here in New York, but we'll get into that.
I don't know. I have a different feeling about pigs.
Okay. Yeah, I know. You're one of those. You know, you could look at things maturely and intelligently. I don't like to do that.
I don't know. It's like I think of all those cute little, you know, the Italian pork stores, you know, and they've got like all this sausage and cute little pictures of pigs.
Right. See, and you I guess, get joy from that.
I do.
See, I'm angered by that because I go in there and see sausage and I'm happy. I'm like, yeah, stupid pig. That's what you get. Ha ha.
And see? I'm like, wow, beautiful sausage.
Right. And you're like, hey, look, yeah. Sausage is so nice, texture. I don't even care. All right.
Okay.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain and my good friend, Jesse. Cruise.
You're listening to Top Gun by Tom Cruise on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surifarms.com.
Hey, America, welcome back. Sorry about that. I am, again, not a broadcaster. Trying. Okay, so we're back, and I'm here with my good friend. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain. I'm here with my good friend, Jesse Riley, and we are discussing the evil, horrible, hate-filled wild boar of Central and Northern Europe. But now we're gonna change gears a little bit and you know, make the topic a little more local to us here in New York State. You know, as you know, I'm a hunter here in New York State. Love hunting upstate, Orange County, the Adirondacks. I've hunted just about every county in this state, to include Suffolk County out of Long Island. And what we have here is a little different, and it's what we would call, or what they call, feral swine. See?
Right.
That's evil. Feral swine.
There are feral cats, too. You know?
Right, and they're evil, too. Put them on the list. They'll probably band together with the pigs and try to overtake us.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, our governor took away all our assault rifles, so how are we going to defend ourselves? We can rely on government.
But you can still drink a big soda.
Yes. Thank you, judges. Thank you. Thank you for some reason. And you know what? You shouldn't be drinking all that soda, but you shouldn't have the government telling you not to drink it. You should know for yourself. But okay, let's do this. Feral swine, you know, and what we're talking about here is kind of this idea of this wild boar, you know, native to Europe.
Right.
Was brought over here, whether Christopher Columbus did it.
Or however they got here.
The settlers, they swam, they built boats. They got here. Along with that, we were raising what we would consider domestic or farm-raised pigs.
Right. We have the domestic farm-raised pig. We also have the pet pig, right? All those pet pot-belly pigs that got really way too big for people to keep, and they let them loose upstate New York. And then we have, I guess you know more about this, the fenced-in kind of hunting environments.
Right. And we were discussing that earlier. A big business in Weston, Pennsylvania, they got these fenced-in properties where and they stock
wild boar. But we know wild boar can dig, and they dig their way out of the fence, and then they go mate with the potbelly pigs, and we have this mix of...
Right. We really super pig.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's kind of the best of both worlds. They're highly adaptable. They're the mutts of the pig world. And
right.
as you know from, dogs, mutts are generally healthier. They've
right.
adapted.
They survive in a warm southern climate, and they survive up here in New York State as well.
Well, yeah, and it goes to show. I mean, we have a problem, really, with these feral pigs in the United States that starts at the tip of Florida and runs mm-hmm. all the way up. As far as I know, to Connecticut at
right,
this point.
Right, they're in the northwestern part of Connecticut, too.
Right. And I wouldn't say it's uncontrollable at this point for us up here, but in certain parts of the South, Georgia, we were mentioning Tennessee, some of these states are really overrun with these animals because they're so adaptable. And the weather is so good, the food is everywhere, they can breed,
Well, every 100 days. So in right. theory, 3 times a year, they could put out a litter of around 6 to 8.
Right. Sometimes bigger.
Right.
10 to 12, not to alarm anybody.
Right.
Generally in a perfect ratio of one male to one female, which
right.
makes things easier.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do the math yourself. A couple of these pigs breeding in a perfect environment like down south, And we have a problem on our hands, and it's
well.
Spreading.
Also, unlike Europe, we don't have a lot of wolves in the Northeast, and we don't have many tigers running around.
Right,
so,
to control them,
so they don't really have any natural predators.
That's what we should do. We got to introduce
wolves
back to New York.
That's
and
right.
Then, or if we ever had them, I don't think we ever had wolves this far east. The Eastern wolf. That sounds familiar. Or am I thinking of coyotes?
I think you're thinking of coyotes.
Which we did a show on, but the coyotes are not going to get it done as far as controlling these. So we have to talk about hunting these animals. And as far as New York State's concerned, and again, I'm not a big...
What's the word you're looking for, Chad?
I want to say it politically correct. I'm not a big supporter of big government in a lot of ways, but the DEC, Department of Environmental Control, here in New York State is actually one government organization that I tend to support on a lot of levels. I think they do a good job. And they have decided that we should be hunting these feral pigs here in New York
right.
all year long.
Right. Well, they compete with deer for food. They also will eat the... they'll forage in the nests of waterfowl.
Right. So they're eating eggs
right.
from these, these animals that are natural to our environment. They will root through. They'll eat roots. They'll
mm-hmm.
they'll destroy crops. They're starting to become a problem. New York State has decided, let's hunt them year-round. It's open season. As long as you have a small game hunting permit.
Right, and you follow all the other rules and
right.
regulations for hunting.
Right, so if you go out deer hunting, you can't be 500 yards from a house and discharge your weapon. Same thing for pig hunting, unless they're attacking your house.
Right.
Trying to overrun your house, which I think
because they're so evil.
They are evil, and eventually they will come for our homes. So we'll have to change that. So, New York State, the DEC specifically, has addressed this as a problem. I've heard reports, I've had friends tell me, there's some articles out there about, Western New York specifically, and which makes sense because they're really, moving up south. They're moving through Pennsylvania into New York now. And so we're seeing in the Western region of New York, big populations
right.
of these feral pigs running wild, which I think, we need to realize, I'm all about ethical hunting, but... you watch any of these hunting shows, the Outdoor Channel, I'm watching these, primarily I'm a deer hunter. I love deer hunting. So these guys are bow hunting down in Georgia, Alabama.
Right.
They have nice long seasons, beautiful weather, and they're up in their tree stands. And in every episode, there's always the part of the episode where they say, oh, look at this pig. I had to shoot it. Blew my whole deer hunt for a couple of hours because now I shot the pig with the arrow. The pig's running around squealing. Every deer in the area is alerted. But it illustrates the real problem these hunters and the states are having down there in controlling the numbers. So these guys are willing to give up their deer hunt for the day to take a pig down. And then, of course, always at the end of the show, they're like, wow, that was good. You know, that was great pig, great pork. So it is hunting and it's great meat.
Well, I mean, deer tastes good, but I think pig tastes better.
Listen, I think it's different. And you might be right on some levels. It's obviously a personal choice. I would like both on the plate,
yeah,
to tell you
I
the
like
truth.
Both.
Yeah,
I
mean, that would be great. Which brings up, all right, I've killed my feral, my evil feral swine, and my friend Jessie here is going to talk us through preparing some dishes, and she came up with some very interesting recipes here.
Well, I've done a leg, and I used a technique that's common for like a Puerto Rican-style pork shoulder, where you make incisions all over it. And you make a paste. And in this case, I'm making a paste out of like dried cherries, apricots, and dried plums with some garlic, sherry, olive oil, salt, and pepper. And pushing this mix.
All right, wait. So here we go.
Here we go.
Here's the experts telling everyone how to do it. So go get a bunch of dried stuff.
Right. Chop it up.
Chop it up.
Like in a blender or a food processor.
Okay. With the sherry, obviously,
with the
to
sherry,
hydrate it.
The olive oil.
And right. This is going to produce this paste.
This paste.
Right.
Right. Then you're going to take a big knife and make cuts about 2 inches apart and about as deep as you can go before you hit a bone.
Okay.
And you're going to like use your fingers to push this paste into the openings.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Now what?
All right. So then we're going to make a marinade with red wine, like a good red wine, some more herbs, garlic. We're going to post the recipe somewhere, right?
One of these days, yes.
One of these days, okay.
Jack's got to get my website up. Sorry.
All right, so some thyme, parsley. We're going to make a nice marinade, and in a dish or a pan that's big enough to hold the leg, we're going to cover it in this liquid.
Okay.
And probably for about 24 to 48 hours. And every 6 or so hours, give it a turn.
And you want to refrigerate this?
Yes, definitely refrigerate
right.
it.
Okay, right. So we're done marinating it?
We're done marinating it. And then we're going to take it out, like preheat your oven to like 350. And when you start preheating the oven, take it out of the refrigerator so it gets more to room temperature. You don't want to put something like really cold in the oven, right? And I would
say... And now how long, average?
Well, like for a 6 to 8 pound leg,
okay,
it should take about 2.5 hours.
All right.
And I would leave it covered when you start cooking and uncover it for like the last 45 minutes to half an hour.
Okay.
And get a thermometer. Right, that you can, they're either called like an InstaRead or a probe thermometer. And New York State, as we said, you have to take it to 170 Fahrenheit. But I'd say take it out at like 160.
Right.
And then cover it, and it should get to 170.
Now, let me ask you about that, because to me that seems a little high. And I understand if it's an actual wild boar.
Right, actual wild boar, as opposed to the kind of wild boar you can buy from various places.
Right, various providers.
Farms,
yeah,
right.
Farms, a farm-raised right. wild boar.
Right, farm-raised wild boar, I would take a little lower.
Take a little lower.
Like 140, 150.
Right, and retain a little more of that moisture in it. But right. we're not going to take that chance. And therefore, that's why we're marinating.
That's why we're marinating it. That's why we're putting all of this garlic and dried fruit in it to give it some more moisture.
To add the moisture, because we know we have to, you know.
Because it's lean.
Right. And I mean, trichinosis and other things. So I just want to make sure we're clear there. So we go to 160, take it out of the oven, and we're going to have what we call carryover.
Right.
It's actually going to, you know, the bone is hot.
Exactly.
The meat is hot, and it's just going to raise the temperature, 10
right.
degrees.
Right. Because if we took it out of the oven at 170, we would actually, by the time it sat, because we can't carve it right away, we got to wait.
Right.
Would probably be up around 180, and it would definitely be a lot drier.
Okay. So we let it rest. And how long does that take? I'm sorry, did I miss that part?
The resting, I'd say usually about 15, 20 minutes.
15, 20 minutes, and we're carving it right off the bone.
Right. Now, the thing that's tricky about carving a leg, like any leg, right, is that the muscle changes direction.
Right.
So you have to really look when you're carving and move it around.
Right. So that's very important, guys, this grain. Talk a little bit about that, Chase, the grain and how that affects the texture of your cut.
Well, if you cut it in the wrong direction, right, you'll realize it immediately because the meat is going to start to shred.
Right.
You're not going to get those beautiful, nice slices.
And you're going to get this chewy,
shredded
meat. Okay, and then what are we serving? What do you suggest we serve this with?
Well, I think a nice thing with this is like a little roast potatoes with rosemary and some fleur de sel. Some sea salt.
Very nice.
and maybe some pan roasted carrots.
And we're drinking bourbon.
Yeah.
All right. That's just me. To celebrate the death of this evil, evil creature that we're now consuming. Jesse, I want to personally thank you for appearing today. We got to definitely have you back. I think this was maybe the best episode, at least in my opinion. We'll talk to the producer. He may be lecturing me after this one a little bit. But I had a great time, and thank you for being with us. Unfortunately, guys, that's all the time we have today. And I would like to thank Jack, my producer, for engineering today's show. You can always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.